God wants you to have sex. There, I've said it. Now, perhaps after earlier in the week looking at the bulletin and seeing that the topic for today was the sixth commandment, and perhaps wondering that, especially with this being the beginning of the season of Lent, a season of repentance, maybe you were anticipating a stern talk about the evils of fornication and adultery. And maybe even perhaps wondering why it is that Dr. Kessel isn't here preaching today, because he always seems to get these types of texts. Maybe you were wondering how far into the sermon I would get before I mentioned the S word. But now that it's out there, now that it's out in the open, now that we're past our initial embarrassment of the preacher actually using the word sex, why in the world would I be telling you, a group consisting of many college students, most of whom are unmarried, that God wants you to have sex? Well, it's right here in the sixth commandment. Please join with me in reading the sixth commandment and its meaning. Turn to page 31 in the front of the hymnal. Let us read the commandment and the meaning in unison. You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, and that husband and wife each love and honor the other. So did you catch it? Did you catch the message there that God wants you to have sex? Well, maybe not. You see, as with many of the Ten Commandments, as soon as we hear those words, "you shall not," we start thinking about the restrictions that God is placing on us. Not that he's giving us anything or blessing us with anything. But if that's the only way that we look at this commandment, we're missing out. Especially perhaps before we get married, we look at this commandment and we think that the message is, don't have sex. And again, if we think of it that way, we're missing out. For one thing, God created us as sexual beings. Now, don't take that in the wrong way. I'm not saying that the sole purpose of our existence as humans is simply to have sex. But let's look at what Moses says about the creation of mankind. In Genesis 1:27, he writes, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then he goes on and gives this important blessing of God to this man and woman, this married couple. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God did not create us as asexual, non-sexual creatures so that we would have to reproduce in some sort of asexual way. God created man and woman to complement each other, to complement each other emotionally, to complement each other physically. And the physical part of how we complement each other is very evident by our anatomy. So yes, one practical element of God creating us as sexual beings is that we have the ability to reproduce our species. But being created male and female means so much more than just being of a different gender. Think about all the differences between men and women, differences which wouldn't be there if we weren't separate genders. For example, men tend to think in linear fashion. Women tend to think in a more holistic manner. Men tend to be very goal-oriented. Women tend to think of the process that it takes and enjoying the process of it, that it takes to get to that goal. Men tend to think of themselves and of their self-worth in terms of what they do. Women tend to think of themselves in terms of relationships. And of course, some of these differences make themselves known also when it comes to sex. Men tend to be able to compartmentalize their thoughts, and even their sinful thoughts, about lusting after this woman or that woman, even if it means lusting after this or that woman only through pictures. Be honest, guys, how many different women, or about how many different women and how many different occasions have you fantasized? And you women, yes, you may think about that really good-looking guy in a more holistic fashion. But sometimes it comes down to not just being in a relationship with that person, but being in an inappropriate relationship with that person. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of taking God's blessing, his gift of sex, and trampling it and wasting it and perverting it and making it just seem so dirty. We don't deserve that blessing of God, the gift of sex. What we deserve is to be thrown into the pit, the eternal pit of filth and despair, the pit of hell itself, for what we've done with our sexuality. And that's why God wants you to have sex in a marriage relationship. In that way, God blesses you by limiting your sexual activity to the marriage relationship. He knows, you see, what happens when we have sex outside of that relationship, that it hurts us, that it hurts others. We pretend to be close to someone when we're ending up too physical with that person, and we end up losing out because there is no real commitment there. We chase after unrealistic fantasies in hopes of attaining some sort of fulfillment, and yet we end up just feeling more empty and perhaps craving even more. But God wants so much more for you. He wants you to enjoy everything about how he created you, including that he created you as a sexual being. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be filled with love. Love for others. Love for him. And that's why he not only gave you this sixth commandment, he also gave you his very own son. Jesus restored the blessing of sex to its rightful place. He was tempted, as the writer of Hebrews says, in every way as we are, and yet was without sin. And that perfect life that he lived, he gives to you. He credits it to you. So that now, no matter how many times and in how many ways you break the sixth commandment, when God looks at you, one of his children, he sees the perfect life of his son. He sees you clothed in that perfect white wedding garment of salvation and of perfection. And when you do stumble, when you do make that wedding garment dirty, Jesus comes to you and he washes it clean through the blood that he shed for you on the cross. He died that death on the cross in your place to guarantee the forgiveness of your sins. Now, granted, that fact of forgiveness doesn't give us some sort of license to sin. It doesn't give us permission to be as promiscuous as possible, because we know that after we sin, we can repent and be forgiven. That forgiveness that we receive gives us another chance. It gives us a chance to experience the blessing of sex the way that God intended it to be. That's part of what Luther meant when he wrote in his explanation of this commandment that keeping the commandment includes husband and wife, each loving and honoring the other. Within that marriage relationship, when two people are faithful to each other, we remain chaste and pure and clean when it comes to sex. Restricting sexual activity to marriage, it's not a negative. It's not a punishment from God to try and take away any kind of happiness. God wants you to have sex only within marriage so that it is a blessing. He wants you to be blessed to the highest degree possible. So out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for you, that he has restored that blessing of sex, that he has forgiven you for all of your sins, including any of your sexual sins, remain chaste and pure. Don't have sex outside of marriage. But within that marriage relationship, thank God for the blessing of sex. And thank him for giving us this sixth commandment. Amen.